First Epistle of John, chapter 4, verses 4 to 12. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Thanks be to God for his holy word.
Thank you. We've had a lot of information coming through in the last few weeks, haven't we? Fake news, texts, emails, all sorts of things have contributed recently to the news. And it's just trying to work out, isn't it? What's true? What's a half-truth? What's a lie? What's an exaggeration? And it's not easy to discern, is it? And then there's a huge amount of time spent by people discussing what they had thought was genuine, true news. John was writing to people that were experiencing the same thing, really. There was a group called the Gnostics, which we have heard about previously in services. And they were a group that felt that any contact with the world, if you thought you were holy, would contaminate you. And therefore, Jesus could not have been human as he was holy. He wasn't of the world, according to them. And then there were the Christians, who spoke of the love of God and of the real Jesus, who was both human and divine. Who to believe? Who to listen to? These days it's the same, isn't it? And whether you believe and have a faith or not, you need to work out who is speaking the truth to you, particularly the truth in spiritual matters. Who has Jesus at the centre of the discussion? Whose lives reflect the love of God are to me two good ways of beginning to discern who is telling me the truth. This passage tied in with something that I've been thinking about over the last few weeks, which was about the prodigal son. Only I include the daughter in this as well. And I've been thinking about whether we can all be prodigals at some time. Are there times when we walk away from God? We know the son followed his dream. He was disillusioned with being second in line. And his inheritance, he thought, gave him his freedom. So he turned away from his father and followed his dream. Freedom and friends disappeared when the finance disappeared. And so one day as he was scrabbling to eat, he realized the emptiness of life and he had two choices. One was to stay and live as a peasant or to go home and live as a servant or even a slave in his father's house. He chose the latter. But what about us? We hear amazing stories of people who've run away from God, sometimes for years, and then finally they turn and they have amazing conversions. For some people, it's not like that. We all have a different path to follow. But are there ways in which we are prodigals? Are there times when we half turn away from God, when he wants to lead us in a certain direction, and we sort of half listen, a bit like me earlier in the year, but start looking elsewhere, take your attention off things? Or sometimes it's when God wants to deal with something deep in our lives, perhaps a past hurt, something that's happened to us in the past, or something that's happened to us yesterday. And he makes these things surface. And usually when God makes these things surface, it means he wants to do something about it. He wants to bring healing to that hurt or that misunderstanding. But sometimes our emotions get in the way. We start to feel angry, resentful maybe, that God allowed the thing to happen in the first place. Sometimes we see how making certain decisions has made our lives take a completely different track to what we thought it was going to. And so we start to turn our back on him. And we're on our road, looking elsewhere for answers and satisfaction. Perhaps we spend some time wallowing in self-pity, even enjoying the pain of that hurt. And so sometimes also we enjoy the attention that comes to us if we've shared that hurt with people. And then suddenly we find we've run out of spiritual reserves and we flop. And so we have two choices: to stay where we are in our misery, anger, perhaps for a while being the center of attention, or turning around to God and being willing to be his servant, trusting that he knows what's best for us. You know, the Bibles often show the son racing back to the father, don't they? Arms wide open. But there were no tarmac roads in that country then. And when I went to Israel with the Launceston Circuit some years ago with Chris Paxman, there were plenty of uneven surfaces and stones all ready to trip you up. And so I think the son probably plodded carefully home, tripping up occasionally. And then first he sees his father waiting outside, doesn't see the house. He sees his father with his arms open, ready and welcome. And welcomed he was as a son, not as a slave or a servant. And there was no social distancing then. The father's love clearly showed, because he'd always been looking out for his son every day. And as we find our way back to God, the path we take, sometimes we trip up a bit. But when we see him, we find he's been watching and waiting for us all the time. And he's always been loving us as we've gone our own way. And he welcomes us back as his children. The title of my sermon today was The Circle of Love. And I believe that our moving back, in doing so, we close the circle of love with God. In verse 12 in John, it says, "We are sure that we live." Sorry, wrong verse. "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in union with us, and his love is made perfect in us." It's no longer an unrequited love for him. It's a love that's returned, and knows that it's returned. And that's always a special love, isn't it? And this is the message I feel that this chapter is about. It's about how precious our love is to God. And only we can make that circle of love complete by returning that love. This week is an opportunity to take part in perhaps thinking about just the passage of the prodigal son, taking a different character, the son or the daughter, the father, and perhaps someone as an onlooker, and seeing how they all react as they make their way on their each different journey, and imagine their emotions, and then picture the love that that story shows in their faces, and seeing that the circle of love was completed and can be completed for us with God. Remember how precious and vital our love is to God. It is so precious because he knows then that we love us, and we have completed that circle in turning back to him and welcoming him, and also running to his arms so that he can express his love so fully to us.